ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 12 टेक्स्ट 2-7। फर्स्ट फ्यू वर्सेस हैव नो परपोर्ट, सो विल आई जस्ट रीड इट। तैतो युगांताग्नि कठोर जीवम अविद्य शूलम तरसा सुरेन्द्र क्षिप्त्वा महेन्द्राय विनद्य वीरो हतोऽसि पापे तिरुषा जगाद। देन वृत्रासुर द ग्रेट हीरो ऑफ द डीमंस whirled his trident, which had points like the flames of the blazing fire at the end of the millennium. With great force and anger, he threw it at Indra, roaring and exclaiming loudly, O sinful one, thus shall I kill you. Kaapatattat vichalat grahol kavan nirikshadushprekshana jata viklava vajrena vajri shataparvanachinad bhujam chatasyo ragaraja bhogam. Flying in the sky, Vritrasura's trident resembled a brilliant meteor. Although the blazing weapon was difficult to look upon, King Indra, unafraid, cut it to pieces with his thunderbolt. Simultaneously, he cut off one of Vritrasura's arms, which was as thick as the body of Vasuki, the king of the serpents. Chinnaika bahu parigrena vritra samrabdha asadya grihita vajram hanautatadendram athambarebham vajram cha hastanyapatan maghona. All the one of his arms was severed from his body. Vritrasura angrily approached King Indra, struck him on the jaw with an iron mace. He also struck the elephant that carried Indra. Thus Indra dropped the thunderbolt from his hand. Vritrasya karmati mahadbutam tat surasurascharana siddha sangha apujyanstat puruta sankatam nirikshaheti vichukshurushurubhrasham. The denizens of various planets like demigods, demons, charanas and siddhas praised Vritrasura's deed, but when they observed that Indra was in great danger, they lamented, Alas, alas! Indrojavajram jagrihe vilajjitas chutam suhastat arizannidau puna tamah vritro harata vajro jahis vishatrum nabishadakala. Having dropped the thunderbolt from his hand in the presence of his enemy, Indra was practically defeated and was very much ashamed. He dare not pick up his weapon again. Vritrasura, however, encouraged him, saying, Take up your thunderbolt and kill your enemy. This is not the time to lament your fate. So now, this is a very beautiful verse, and with a fantastic purport by Srila Prabhupada. Yuyutsatam kutra chidata tainam jaya sadaikatra navai paratmanam vinaikamutpatti layasthitishwaram sarvagyamadyam purusham sanatanam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vritrasura continued, O Indra, no one is guaranteed of being always victorious, but the original enjoyer, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. He is the cause of creation, maintenance and annihilation, and He knows everything. Being dependent and being obliged to accept material bodies, belligerent subordinates are sometimes victorious and sometimes defeated. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hrdi sannivishtamattah smritar jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. When two parties fight, the fighting actually goes on under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, the Super Soul. Elsewhere in the Gita, the Lord says, Prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul under the influence of the three modes of material nature thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. The living entities work only under the direction of the Supreme Lord. The Lord gives orders to material nature, and she arranges facilities for the living entities. The living entities are not independent, although they foolishly think themselves the doers. Victory is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As for the subordinate living entities, they fight under the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Victory or defeat is not actually theirs. It is an arrangement by the Lord through the agency of material nature. Pride in victory or moroseness in defeat is useless. This is one of my favorite statements. Pride in victory or moroseness in defeat is useless. One should fully depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is responsible for the victory and defeat of all living entities. The Lord advises, Niyatam Guru Karmattam Karma Jayohi Akarmana. Perform your prescribed duty, for action is better than inaction. The living entity is ordered to act according to his position. Victory or defeat depends on the Supreme Lord. Karmanyevadhikarastema phaleshu kadachana. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. One must act sincerely according to his position. Victory or defeat depends on the Lord. Vritrasur encouraged Indra, saying, Don't be morose because of my victory. There is no need to stop fighting. Instead, you should go on with your duty. When Krishna desires, you will certainly be victorious. This verse is very instructive for sincere workers in the Krishna consciousness movement. We should not be jubilant in victory or morose in defeat. We should make a sincere effort to implement the will of Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we should not be concerned with victory or defeat. Our only duty is to work sincerely so that our activities may be recognized by Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is a very, very wonderful and hope-giving purport. And in the section of Vritrasur, where we just completed the Chatushloki, the last four verses of the previous chapter is called the Chatushloki also of Srimad Bhagavatam, the second Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning with Aham Harer Tava Padaik Mula Dasanu Dasa Bhavitasmi Bhuya. That till the last one, these four verses are also very important in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in fact, one of the important pastimes which differentiates or characteristic features how Srimad Bhagavatam is distinguished from other Puranas is the presence of the Vritrasur pastime. And that is also mentioned in various places, that Vritrasur pastime thus characterizes, that if Vritrasur pastime is there, that means that Purana is Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore this particular pastime is very important. So we have been discussing about how Indra was so successful as the king of heaven, and ultimately he was victorious against Vritrasur, but in one sense that victory was defeat. So many times we have this topic for lecture, failure as stepping stone to success. So in terms of Vritrasur, we can apply that in one sense he failed, but that became the stepping stone to success of entrance into the spiritual world. So I was thinking that, as Maharaj was explaining in his lecture, that Indra, because he was so attached to sense enjoyment, he failed to enter into the spiritual world. He had to take birth again in the material world. So I thought of another topic, success as slipping stone to failure. That too much of success and the attachment to success and the desire for sense gratification makes you slip and fall. So this is basically the condition of both of these personalities, Indra and Vritrasur. So therefore, there are two types of intelligence. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. So all of these verses of Vritrasura demonstrate Vyavasayatmika buddhi, one-pointed attention, determination, intelligence to enter into the spiritual world. Whereas Indra's buddhi, Indra's intelligence is Vyavasaya buddhi. How to do business. Putting any effort, putting any kind of effort to progress, even in spiritual terms, but expecting some enjoyment in return. What is Vyavasaya? Vyavasaya means business. In business, you give something, but in return for that, you also accept something. And you make sure that what you get in return is more than what you give. That is the whole concept or principle of Vyavasaya. Therefore, bhoga or material enjoyment is based on the concept of Vyavasaya buddhi. Therefore, when we come to spiritual life, we are trying to convert our intelligence from Vyavasaya buddhi to Vyavasayatmika buddhi, where our only engagement, our only business is to fix our intelligence in the interest of the soul, Atmika. And this contrast between these two personalities is brought out as the difference between these two mentalities in the material world, enjoyment versus service. So we have the example in Ramayana of Vishwamitra Muni. And this is a very instructive pastime. And we'll see in today's class about how Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciprocate with the souls according to the kind of efforts they put in spiritual life. So here we have Vishwamitra Muni, and his journey progressively in spiritual life is very interesting. So initially, Vishwamitra Muni is Raja, he's a king. And he goes to visit the ashram of Vasishtha Rishi, and he says there are so many, warriors along with him, and he's feeling hungry. So Vasishtha Muni feeds him a huge feast, and Vishwamitra Muni is bewildered that in the midst of this forest, from where this feast has manifested. So he finds out that there is one Kamadhenu cow, and that is called Shabala. So this Shabala is actually a wish-fulfilling cow. And when Vishwamitra Muni comes to know, so he wants to arrest Shabala by force. So his warriors attack Shabala. But because the desire-fulfilling cow, Shabala also manifests hundreds and thousands of other warriors, more powerful than Vishwamitra Muni's warriors, and Vishwamitra Muni is defeated. So now with this defeat, he is totally bewildered. He performs austerity, pleases Lord Shiva. He gets some more power, and with that power, he attacks Vasishtha Muni personally. But Vasishtha Muni brings out his Brahma Danda, or the power of his Brahminical prowess. And Vishwamitra Muni has been given practically all the weapons available in Dhanurveda by Lord Shiva. But then, when Kshatrabal meets Brahma Tej and Brahma Danda, then Kshatrabal is defeated and Vishwamitra Muni is defeated again. So Vishwamitra Muni comes to this conclusion that the goal of my life is to control and to enjoy. And I have tried to do it by physical means, but that has failed. So let me try for the same goal of enjoyment and control, but through spiritual means, because I see that Vasishtha is much more powerful. So here, the means may change, but the end motive is same. So therefore, he performs severe austerities. And thus, Lord Brahma, he becomes pleased with his austerities and promotes him from the stage of Raja to the second stage of Rajarishi. So he's still a king, but he has also acquired some spiritual powers. With this power as Raj Rishi, what happens is there is another king called Trishanku, and he develops desire to enter into heavenly planets. So he's approaching Vasishtha Muni and says, please allow me to enter into heavenly planets. And Vasishtha says, it's not possible because you do not have sufficient spiritual credits. You need piety to enter. He says, no, I want to enter. So because he insists, so Vasishtha Muni says it is not possible. So Trishanku gives up Vasishtha Muni and goes to his disciples and tries to beg them that you allow me to enter into heavenly planets. He says that is also not possible because even our guru has refused. How it is possible? But still he is so insistent because of his desire to enjoy. So he realizes that Vasishtha and Vishwamitra, they did not have good relation. So let me go to Vishwamitra Muni. So he goes to Vishwamitra Muni and says that, you know, this Vasishtha, I was telling him to take me to the heavenly planets, he is not allowing me, and in fact they have cursed me and I become Chandala. So Vishwamitra Muni says, oh, Vasishtha refused. He couldn't send you, and in fact he has cursed you. How horrible. I will help you. I am there. Don't worry. So therefore, this is an example of misplaced compassion. When compassion is misdirected and unauthorized, it creates more havoc. So Vishwamitra Muni was saying, here is someone who went to Vasishtha, got rejected and came here. So therefore this fellow really understands my power. He understands who I am. And saying like this, he creates through his Rajarishi power ability to force Trishanku into the heavenly planets. So Trishanku is approaching heavenly planets, but Indra is alerted that some UFOs are coming. And immediately Indra also uses his power and Trishanku's onward journey is stopped. So again Vishwamitra Muni from below is forcing him up and from above he is forcing him down. And Trishanku is lying in the middle. So he's totally bewildered because he's thinking, at least I was having some place in earthly planet. Now I'm nowhere. So he's shouting at Vishwamitra Muni saying that I took shelter with a lot of faith. What happened? So whatever powers Vishwamitra Muni had, he created another planet. And in that another heavenly planet, he gives Trishanku a place. But in that, he exhausts all of his credits, all of his spiritual power. So therefore, that desire to control and bestow benediction is also a symptom of envy. I am the enjoyer means I am envious of Krishna. And I am the deliverer, that is also a symptom that I am envious of Krishna. So therefore, here is Vishwamitra Muni who is trying to help Trishanku by his own power and without any proper guidance, without sanction. So this is also a material endeavor in one sense. Although he has used certain spiritual powers to arrange that. So now what happens is, because he loses all of his power, he performs further austerities. And then he also helps Shunashepa and saves his life. And as a result of this act of compassion, Brahmaji promotes him to the stage of Rishi. So initially he was Raja, then he became Raja Rishi. Now he becomes Rishi. And as Rishi, he starts performing austerity, and that is when Menaka enters. And simply by hearing the sound of the ankle bells, Vishwamitra Muni is bewildered. And you can imagine the power of the mind to agitate the senses. That for 60,000 years, Vishwamitra Muni had not come in contact with any sense object. But after 60,000 years, simply by hearing the tinkling sound, he could relate what is going on. After 60,000 years, even when he heard that tinkling sound, he didn't think it is the Aarti bell or some other spiritual paraphernalia which is making that sound. Because even when now backup devotees are doing somewhere, you hear so many tinkling sound. But that is not possible, because as soon as that memory is awakened, immediately one is lost. So he loses his power, and 10 years pass in enjoyment with Menaka. Again, he is bewildered. Again, he thinks, I have lost my power. Again, he performs austerities in the Himalayas. And this time, with greater discipline, greater sense control, again, Brahmaji is pleased and says, okay, I promote you further to the stage of Maharishi. So he's making steady progress, but it is all totally dependent on his own powers of austerity. And the whole motive is to increase and enhance his ability to control and enjoy. So here he is progressing from Raja to Rajarishi to Rishi, now to Maharishi. Now again Indra sends one more Apsara, Rambha. And as Vishwamitra Muni is keeping his eyes closed, he realizes someone has come. And he realizes, this lady has been sent to distract me. And with great anger, he opens his eyes and Rambha is burnt to ashes. And in that process, he also loses certain power. And again he regrets that previously I succumbed to lust, now I succumb to anger. Now at this point, he indulges in fasting for a prolonged period of time to again regain his power. He's fasting and fasting and fasting for years together, and when he's about to break the fast, Indra appears in the form of beggar. So in one sense, Indra is also totally one-pointed in his determination to break this person's vow. So he comes and begs that, please give me this food which you are about to eat. This was a test. But Vishwamitra Muni passes that test. He gives it in charity and thus regains power. Brahmaji appears and says, now you are fit to be promoted to the stage of Brahmarishi. And that is exactly the stage he was wanting. So Brahmarishi is the stage when a person has knowledge or gyan, that I am a soul, I am a part and parcel of the Supreme. Knowledge that material world is a place of suffering. As Kapil Dev explains in the third canto, bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityasha na ishvarasya ashubham dhate sve mahimni sthitasya cha. Drishta dosha, to be able to see that when I indulge in enjoyment, I experience suffering. If one is able to see the connection between enjoyment and suffering, bhukta bhoga and drishta dosha. So bhukta bhoga is intimately connected with drishta dosha. The dosh, the fault of bhoga, is there will always be suffering. So then one is able to parityakta, give it up. Then sve mahimni sthitasya cha, then the soul is able to actually experience real joy and real pleasure. So now, having come to the stage of Brahmarishi, of Gyan, now Vishwamitra Muni realizes that I have still far away from the stage of coming to the stage of realization, of fully experiencing the mercy of the Lord, which is called Siddhi. And therefore, with this in mind, Vishwamitra Muni approaches the Supreme Lord Ram, who is at that time in the palace of Dasharath Maharaj. So Vishwamitra Muni has spent his whole life struggling with his own powers, by his own endeavors, to acquire various kinds of weapons, various kinds of shastras, various kinds of knowledge. He has struggled to perform austerity to increase his powers. But now he understands that if I have to come from the stage of Gyan to Vigyan, I have to change the process of my spiritual life. And rather than depending on myself, I have to depend on the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And in this way, he decides to increase his dependence on the Lord. And that is the reason why Vishwamitra Muni, although endowed with all kinds of weapons, still approaching Dasharatha Maharaj, that please give me your son Ram, so that he can protect me. So therefore, the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas explain that the Sundarkanda and Balakanda, apart from the other kandas are pretty straightforward. Ayodhya Kand, Yuddha Kand, and Aranya Kand, all of these other different Kishkindha Kand, they are pretty straightforward as to the title. But what is the Sundar Kand refer to and what is the Bal Kand refer to? So in one sense, Sundar Kand refers to the Supreme Lord who is all attractive, but it also describes about the beautiful qualities of Hanumanji as a servitor. So when we say Sundar Kand, it refers to the beautiful qualities of a servant of the Lord Hanuman. It is so Sundar, so beautiful. His servitude is so beautiful. His submissiveness and sacrifice is so beautiful. So Sundar, so beautiful that it attracts even the Supreme Lord Ram. Similarly, when we discuss about Balakanda, an interesting feature is Krishna's Bal Leela is described in great detail in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya's Bal Leela is described in great detail in Chaitanya Bhagavat. But if Balakanda refers only to Lord Ramachandra's being a child in Ayodhya, then there are hardly any pastimes describing Lord Ram as a child. We directly come to Lord Ram as an adolescent, and then Vishwamitra Muni comes to Dasharatha's court. There are no descriptions of any pranks or any kinds of other leelas which Lord Ram may have performed with Kaushalya or Dasharatha as a child. So therefore, the Acharyas comment that this Balakanda, in one sense, apart from referring to Lord Ram as a child who was born at that period in Ayodhya, this Bala also refers to Vishwamitra Muni. And how is that? That just like a child is totally innocent and totally dependent on the mercy of his mother. So, in this Balakanda, we see a total transformation in Vishwamitra Muni's attitude in life. A person who was so proud of depending on his own powers and abilities to enhance and increase his control and power is now at last understanding the need to depend on the Lord's mercy helplessly. And in this way, just like a child depends on mother, Vishwamitra Muni depends on the Supreme Lord Ram as a child, as a Bala. And this stage is called the stage of Balya. And thus, this particular canto is also called Balakanda. And this refers to his total surrender in Ram's hands, understanding that all of this knowledge which I have acquired so far cannot help me. And in this way, Ram alone should take care of me and depends on him completely. So the first thing Vishwamitra Muni does when he takes Ram and Lakshman with him is he surrenders all of his different vidyas he has acquired, which is called Bal and Atibal. And this refers to the para and apara vidya, spiritual and material knowledge, to Ram and Lakshman. Thus indicating that I depend on your causeless mercy. So if we see that the difference in mentality of Indra and Vritrasur is exactly the same. One is depending on his own intelligence to scheme various ways in order to acquire powers. And Vritrasur is showing the mentality of depending totally on the Supreme Lord, thus indicating that this is one of the foremost requirements for going back home, back to Godhead, and attracting the Lord's mercy. A childlike, innocent dependence on the Lord at all levels for all kinds of activities. So therefore, now the whole journey of Valmikiji is described in great detail from that point onwards. And it is a very fascinating story how each one of the activities which Valmiki performs with Ram and Lakshman on his journey indicates a certain stage of purification for a sadhaka to come from the stage of gyan to vigyan, theoretical knowledge to realization. And in this way, that is very fascinatingly described. But this basically indicates the main point of dependence. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport that we depend on the Supreme Lord in all situations, even for preaching or for any of our services. As many times when things don't go according to our expectation, we become morose. We become dejected. But what we learn is that Vishwamitra Muni has spent whole life using his efforts, using his intelligence and skills laboriously to progressively go ahead from the stage of king to the stage of Brahmarishi. Now he realizes, I have to give up at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So in that way we find that, as Kavichandra Maharaj was explaining, when we serve Krishna, Krishna's intervention is there in many ways we cannot judge or understand. All we have to do is serve and do our best. So he was giving the example that in Greece, that the devotees used to go on Harinam Sankirtan, and there was this gentleman who used to ridicule the devotees. He was not impressed by the Harinam, but he used to find the Harinam very funny. So anyway, when he would come back to his home, he would sit on his dining table, and when the wife would take some time to serve the lunch or dinner, he would take the plate and take the spoon and then hit the spoon against the plate and chant Hare Krishna in a joking way. And his son would be sitting there, small boy, 5-year-old boy, and he would be kind of imitating the Hare Krishna kirtan to the son, and also raising his hands and then again using the spoon against the plate and making this sound again and again. And then son would also try to do that same thing. And then he would laugh, and the son would also laugh. So it was like a joke for him. 10 years later, when the son became 15-year-old, he was out in the street, he actually saw Harinam party. And then he saw them chanting Hare Krishna. He went up to them and said, hey, I've been doing this for 10 years. But on the dining table, with plate and spoon. So they said, why don't you come? And we'll give you kartal, and you can play. And he went and joined the Hare Krishna temple. Father got bewildered. He came and tried to, you know, argue with the devotees. And the son said, you only taught me on the dining table how to do Hare Krishna. So he was saying that sometimes we put some effort somewhere, nothing happens. Something else connects with someone, and then he just comes. And we never know how it is working. So just like when we compare the mercy which Lord Ramachandra is showing to Vishwamitra Muni and the kind of reciprocation in Ram Leela, then we see that in Krishna Leela, that Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is demanding Vyavasayatmika Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. So one, Western devotees, they were doing some Harinam in South India. So they were approached by one Brahman who was in one of the temples, Pujari. And this Brahman started saying that, you know, you're a Western devotee and you are serving Krishna. It is a little contradictory. You should be serving Ram. And he said, why? He said, because Krishna is Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahman. That means Krishna is very easily pleased with Brahmins and cows. So therefore, it is very difficult for you to please Krishna because you are not born in Brahman family and you don't have cows in the West. So therefore, better that you worship Lord Ram, because Lord Ram is so merciful, he is always playing around with monkeys and bears and so many other creatures, he doesn't mind. So therefore, I recommend that just like me, I am worshipping Lord Ram, you also worship Ram. So this devotee said, that is true, but Lord Ram engaged the monkeys in very heavy service, whereas Krishna took the milk from the cows, made butter and fed the monkeys. So therefore, we are engaged in this process of worshipping Krishna and serving Krishna, and we are totally enjoying this process. And also, if you compare Ram and Krishna, Then Ram cut the nose of Surpanaka. Lakshman cut the nose of Surpanaka and Surpanaka went crying. When that same Surpanaka took the birth as Kubja, Krishna delivered. So therefore Krishna is more merciful than Ram. Also, because Sita was held captive for 1 year by Ravan, Ram subjected her to some kind of test, Agni Pariksha. And then later, Ram also rejected Sita Devi because some dhobi said something that she stayed with someone for 1 year. Whereas Krishna, he collected all the queens who were held captive. 16,000 queens were held captive by the king, the demon. And Krishna killed the demon, released 16,000 queens and married them. So tell me, who is more merciful, Krishna or Ram? So of course, this Pujari, he was totally a committed Ram Bhakta. He could not change himself, but he just told the devotees, yeah, I am convinced. You continue chanting Hare Krishna, no problem. Gave his, you know, Ashirwad. So, this particular incident shows that when we are approaching Krishna, but Krishna also has certain conditions. That you serve me like this, serve me like that. Yesham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmana. You become purified. And then only in pure state one will be able to serve me with determination. And this purification is not a function of one's intelligence or ability or something. Just like our Devamrita Maharaj was explaining, that the famous scientist, physicist, Stephen Hawking, he is practically paralyzed. He can't move. None of his limbs can function. He has to communicate through various kinds of machines. For 20 years, his wife was serving him. And after 20 years, he had an affair with his nurse. And he rejected his wife and then got involved with this nurse. So I asked Devamrita Maharaj, I mean, he's totally paralyzed and he can't even move and all. How can you have an affair? He said, I'm a sannyasi, don't ask me that question. But this is well-documented fact that a person who's so famous, so much involved with presenting such big philosophy, but to overcome desires is not possible by one's own efforts. We need intervention and help of the Supreme Lord for this. Even in the process of devotional service as we are progressing. In fact, this book, Brief History of Time, is so famous. They began with 5,000 copies, but till date it has sold 5 billion copies. And the numbers are increasing. And the Amrit Maharaj was saying that you'll practically find it in every bookshelf of some student or intellectual or something. And if you ask them, have you read it? They will say, no. So it is one of the most famous unread books, he said, that the philosophy is so much filled with speculation, but because people want to impress, so they keep this. Therefore, purification and devotional service is not a matter of intellectual speculation. But when we depend on the Supreme, then purification takes place. But still here, Krishna is demanding, serve me, depend on me, do this, do that. So many do's and don'ts. Whereas Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he goes one step ahead. Lord Chaitanya has no demands. Krishna is demanding, you come to me. Lord Chaitanya is saying, I come to you and I will deliver you. Tyaktva sudustam surepsita raja lakshmi dharmishta aryabhajaya gadaranyam maya margam daitepsita anvadhavat. Lord Chaitanya is running behind the conditioned souls, chasing them and delivering them. That is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. You want to be purified? Don't worry, I will take care. And Lord Chaitanya is going behind the souls, trying to purify them in so many ways. In fact, Lord Chaitanya arranges in such a way that souls come to the process of Krishna consciousness. And in case they leave, again Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and brings them back again. And we can see the example of his servant, Kal Krishnadas, who was with Lord Chaitanya. He left. Again, Lord Chaitanya caught him and brought him back. Another of his servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he started saying that, okay, everyone is going to Kaliya Lake because Krishna has appeared and is dancing on Kaliya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him a slap, saying that nonsense, that is a boatman and that is simply the lamp of the boatman, nothing else. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that here is Balabhadra Bhattacharya staying next to the Supreme Lord. And Lord Chaitanya is standing in front of him and he is saying that Krishna has appeared in the Kaliya Lake. So Prabhupada is saying Krishna has appeared in front of him, but because he is trying to see Krishna through his own vision, by his own endeavor, and not through the proper process, he is bewildered. Therefore, these two intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu represent two very important principles. That Kalakrishnadas became a victim of bhoga, of material enjoyment. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya became victim of mental speculation. So the tendency for enjoyment and speculation is so severe and so strong that even if one is in the association of the Supreme Lord, there is tendency to be deviated. But Lord Chaitanya is most merciful, that even if that happens, he catches and brings them back and connects them to the process at any cost. Just like one devotee was giving the example in Vrindavan, Vaisheshik Prabhu, when he was distributing books, so he would also carry some Mahaprasad laddus with him. So there was a father and two children, and both the children were carrying ice cream cones. So he thought that, okay, I should give this laddu to the children. So if children like it, the father will like it and he may take some books or something. So he offered one laddu to the child. So the child had a cone in left hand. He put his hand forward, took a laddu, took a bite of the laddu. It was so good. He again put his hand again. He filled it up with more laddus. He put it inside again. Now the child thought, in one hand I can't accommodate enough laddus. So he gave his father the ice cream cone. He said, hold it. And gave his hand. And both hands filled with laddus. The girl saw that brother is eating with both hands. So she also called father and gave her ice cream cone. Now father was standing with both hands with ice cream cone. And seeing both the children enjoying, he thought, why should I miss this? And he took the ice cream cone and put it in the garbage. And he put his hand and he got his quota of prasad. He liked it so much, then he asked, the two children told the father that find out where he stays. And the father asked, what is your address? And he took out a book and gave it, take this, you know, and come to our temple. And from that time onwards, the whole family started coming to the Hare Krishna temple. Even now they are congregation devotees. And it all began with connection with some laddu on the street, some prasad on the street. And that is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that Krishna is saying, you come to me. Lord Chaitanya is saying, you will never come to me, I know that. But I will come to you. And even after coming, you go away, still I will chase you. So Indradumna Maharaj was having a conversation with Giriraj Maharaj, and yesterday I got a mail from Giriraj Maharaj about this very wonderful story. I never heard it before. That there was in Paris, in the trains, a devotee book distributor, a girl, young girl was distributing books. And she was very young and very fragile. And she was trying to distribute books to this one businessman, very posh looking man. And she gave a Krishna book to him. And he took this Krishna book, started screaming and tore it into two, put it on the ground and started stomping on it, jumping on it. Caught this book distributor by the hair, dragged her outside and pushed her. She got a dislocated shoulder and blood started coming from her hair. And she fell on her nose on the platform. And then the train left. And Indradumna Maharaj was there in a marathon and he just took this devotee back to the hospital. And all the devotees were cursing this man. This man was a banker from Madrid. So he came back to his home. And then he had carried this torn Krishna book with him. And he was displaying it to his wife. Just see what I did. you know, there were these crazy Hare Krishnas. I really showed them my power. And he showed the torn Krishna book, which he had stepped on, and then he threw it on the dining table. And then he went to his bank, the wife went to work, the maid came to the house, and she saw this torn Krishna book. She thought that maybe it's an important book of the family. So out of her own initiative, she just used some glue and other things and put this Krishna book together and placed it back in their bookshelf. And this man had forgotten, the wife had forgotten. By Krishna's divine arrangement, this banker's wife met with a road accident and died. The son ran away with some, you know, low-class girl, and he didn't want this marriage, and he also left. The girl got some severe disease, and she was not in a position to function. Now this man was totally alone, depressed, and thinking that I should commit suicide. So as he was contemplating suicide, he just looked at his bookshelf and thought, let me read the Bible. So he started searching for the Bible, but because he was atheist, he didn't have Bible. But he got Krishna book. The same Krishna book which he had torn and stepped on long time back. He took it out and read the first chapter, and he started reading Vasudev preaching to Kamsa that Kamsa, the soul doesn't die. The soul just transmigrates body to body. Just like when you place the steps, one step comes ahead, then you lift the other step, and in this way the soul is eternal. As soon as he read that, he thought, my wife is not dead. She's still alive. That's great. And then he went ahead and said, Kamsa, all sufferings are due to one's karma. And he realized, oh, I am responsible for my own karma. And yes, I had given so much of pain to that devotee, the Hare Krishna. And for 1 week he shut himself in his house and continuously read Krishna book completely cover to cover. And when he read it, at the end he saw the address, and it was an ISKCON temple of Madrid. He went, rung the bell, the temple president opened the door, and he saw that this gentleman was in suit, tie, coat, everything, but kneeling down on the floor with hands like this. And the temple president got bewildered, because they didn't get guests like that. Generally, they had to go and kneel down to people and make them chant Hare Krishna. And he was crying tears, and he said, I am fallen. I am really sinful. Please save me. And it was too much for the temple president, because this is like a dream come true that someone is coming to take shelter like this. He took him inside. He said, other neighbors will think you are crazy. You come inside. And then he started asking him questions, and he revealed that this is what, you know, happened, and this is how he's become influenced. So the temple president invited him, come every week to the Sunday program. So he started attending Sunday program, and he would come in his suit, tie, and everyone knew he was an influential banker, very rich, very wealthy. Amazingly, after hearing classes for so long, after 6 months he comes to the temple president and says, I want to join full time. And he said, you want to quit your job? Give up everything? He said, yeah, I want to join full time. Engage me in some service. So the temple president said, okay, I think one post we have vacant is the treasurer's post. So you be the treasurer. So he said, where is the account? Well, we don't have any account, but whatever you have, you can use that. Your money, you own the account and you take care. And he was doing that job for several months. And then he thought that, I want to distribute books. So the same book he took, and he started distributing books. And then after a few months, there was a Sankirtan festival, and all devotees from different countries came together. And in that festival, he saw that girl whom he had attacked. And he broke down completely, started crying, fell at her feet, and she was bewildered that what is going on. And then he explained the whole story. And then finally he felt relieved that he has been forgiven for his offense. So we see the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such that even if you reject Krishna and kick Krishna and tear apart his book, Krishna book is not different from Krishna. But if Krishna wants to get you, then he will get you. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he arranges in such a way that if in some way someone gets connected to the preaching mission, he will be delivered in due course of time. And in this way, we see that Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful of all incarnations, most merciful of all. He doesn't expect any kind of surrender or any kind of other prerequisites. Patra apatra na dekhi na dekhi sthana sthan. So therefore Krishna and Ram, they expect the sadhaka to be vyavasayatmika buddhi. But Lord Chaitanya himself is vyavasayatmika buddhi. That I am one pointed in my determination to deliver you. So in this way, we are so fortunate to be connected with this mission, where the Lord, his only mission is to reclaim the souls at any cost. And thus from this beautiful pastime of Ritrasura, we can get the inspiration how to give up the vyavasaya buddhi or the intelligence which is business-like, as Prahlad Maharaj says, and to develop vyavasayatmika buddhi, one-pointed determination, to help Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in order to deliver ourselves. So we should not try to resist what Lord Chaitanya is trying to do and just become a willing instrument. Srila Prabhupada ki tai gaur premanande. So I think this will be inspirational for the book distributors who are going outside today, and you can experience that how each one of these books has such potency, right? If a tone book has so much potency, what about a full book? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.